You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the Sweet 16 has begun. The Elite Eight rapidly approaching. We've got a couple of more games on the board this evening. Four games on the board tonight. Eight teams will be whittled down. Then we'll have our Elite Eight. We're going to break it down with Steve Merrill. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. One of the covers experts will join us. We'll talk some college basketball with Steve, as well as we'll talk some NASCAR as well. It's the fifth race of the season on the NASCAR circuit. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart is going to join me in studio, and he's going to hang around for a couple of segments. We'll run the gauntlet. Since we are live, we'll take a look live at what's going on with the match play as the WGC continues. I didn't have a good day one, but I bet the groups. I bet the groups, and like a moron, I didn't even realize that I would have to wait 3 days because, you know, I'm a moron. And I was really unhappy yesterday, 2 days ago. I was like, this guy lost, that guy lost. You got to be kidding me, man. Come on, Peters. But looking at the board right now, we're doing okay. We played 11 plays. I don't bet a lot of golf, all right? I'm not, you know, I'm not a golf guy like Cam. I'm not a golf guy like Mayo. Those guys win often. And it seems like whenever I play golf, I don't win. You know, I hit Jordan Spieth a couple of years ago at the Masters. Like, seriously, I think that's like the last time I won a golf tournament. But nevertheless, I like this matchup type of stuff. So I played 11. I played 11 of the 16 groups. And I played a lot of plus money. They're almost all plus money, with the exception of a few like, Jason Day was plus money, but now I got no money because Jason Day left. But we'll get Cam fired up about that. We'll talk some hockey. We'll talk some basketball. We'll talk everything with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. As, of course, March Madness has been pretty cool, man. I can't recall, and I've been watching this tournament for like 35 years, man. I can't recall games being as close as this. You know, we've got our buzzer beaters, and the tournament's the same every year. And, you know, Xavier, hey, welcome. You're this year's George Mason. You're this year's VCU. You're not going to win. And we tell you all the time, man, we told you, Kansas is going to win this thing. Kansas is going to win this thing. But nevertheless, really close games. All these one-point games, pretty crazy. And I'm not going to say they're great games, but they're close games. They're pretty good games, but they're close games. Nevertheless, we've been so deep into the college basketball and even the NBA with the daily fantasy stuff. Maybe you didn't notice, like we just recently noticed, the Chicago Bears signed Mark Sanchez. Great move, guys. Great move. Well, did Ryan Fitzpatrick not answer the phone? So you're telling me that the Chicago Bears in the offseason have brought in Mark Sanchez and Mike Glennon as their quarterbacks. This is pretty much as bad as it gets. It makes like the Cleveland quarterback situation look pretty healthy. We should note that they also have Connor Shaw and David Fales on the roster. And, you know, his name is Fales, so it says it all right there. Now, I'm almost speechless by this. Glennon and Sanchez, this is what you're selling? If you're a season ticket holder, yeah, this is going to make you want to renew. And the crazy thing is, the Chicago Bears have the third overall pick in the upcoming draft. You have a solid running back in Jordan Howard. You know, why not draft a quarterback and take the next step? Now, you could argue that, you know, they're not close to being a contender and they're trying to, you know, just stack a roster and put it together. None of us have time, man, all right? You know, you and I don't have time. That's one thing that we all have in common. Time is against us. And I don't know if John Fox realizes this, but he doesn't have an infinite amount of time to turn the Chicago Bears around. The Bears have sucked for long enough. The season ticket holders, they don't want to hear about Mark Sanchez. Like, Mark freaking Sanchez, are you kidding me? It's almost like the Bears are like, they're trying to, you know, assemble the worst stable of quarterbacks in like football freaking history. And there's some pretty bad quarterback pairings in the NFL right now, but Glennon and Sanchez, ugh. And, like, why would you just give Glennon all this money? Just bring in Sanchez. So I would assume they're not going to be drafting a quarterback with the third overall pick. And you know what? They could be leaving a franchise quarterback on the board. It was like last year, you know, Hugh Jackson. Well, I don't really like Carson Wentz. I don't like Jared Goff. Well, he might have been right about Goff, but didn't like Wentz, didn't want him. This year, same thing. Hugh Jackson supposedly doesn't like the quarterbacks in the class. Well, hey, Hugh, you know what? You're not going to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns forever, but you know what? This is one of these days, actually, that's not bad being a Buffalo Bills fan. Because having Tyrod Taylor compared to Mike Glennon and Mark freaking Sanchez, hey, we might as well have Joe Montana. Looks like it's going to be a long year in the Windy City. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, will join me in studio in a couple of moments' time. But we've got some time to run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll talk some college basketball as well as this weekend's NASCAR race. I opened up the show talking about the Chicago Bears. And you know, at this point, you guys would have been better off keeping Jay Cutler. Like, seriously. I'd rather have Jay Cutler for, like, $16 million than Mike Glennon for $14.5 million. Glennon's that bad, guys. Like, seriously, like, you got Glennon and Mark Sanchez. Like, it's beyond me, man, the stupidity of National Football League general managers. They say the guy in Washington, the Redskins, trying to smear the guy, saying that they fired him because he's drunk, man. I don't know what's going on in Chicago, but there's got to be something wrong in the front office with the Bears because you guys don't know what the hell you're doing. But nevertheless, Steve Merrill does know what he's doing. Let's bring in a Steve Merrill right now. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Always a pleasure. What's going on, Steve?
What are you up to, Gabe? What are you ranting about today? Raging about?
Well, you know what? I wasn't really raging. I was laughing at the Chicago Bears. They signed Mark Sanchez today. So they just signed Mike Glennon to a $15 million a year deal. So yes. We already have one piece of crap quarterback. Let's bring in another one. Like, Mark Sanchez shouldn't even be in the league anymore. The guy's terrible.
Yeah, because two halfway decent quarterbacks make one decent quarterback, correct? Isn't that how the math works?
Yeah, but they don't even, like, at this point, like, honestly, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than these guys. And Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks. But you can get Ryan Fitzpatrick probably for about $10 million right now. I swear, I'd rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick as my starter than Mike Glennon. And you can get Fitzpatrick for, like, $5 million cheaper.
Well, it's what we talked about a few weeks ago with Garoppolo. You know, I heard that one analyst a few months ago say, you're going to have to give up a high first-round pick. Nobody wants to do that. But then another guy said, hey, look, if Garoppolo was in the draft right now, he would be a top-three pick. And I don't think there's any doubt about that because he's serviceable. He might not end up being great. He might be the next Matt Castle, but you have to take that shot because you don't have any clue what you're getting with these college quarterbacks. Most of these guys, like, you know, Sanchez and these other guys, you know, are washed up. You know they can't play. You have to take a shot with a guy like Garoppolo who might end up being a decent quarterback, and it's well worth a first-round pick, you know, so why wouldn't one of these teams go after him? I don't understand it.
I'm getting mad right now, too, because I only put together my intro about 10 minutes before the show, Steve. Like, you know, there was nothing really to rage about. I was going to talk about the tournament, and I just saw, I was like, oh, Mark Sanchez. But this is another team that Tony Romo won't be going to. And, you know, I was thinking of Porto Romo right now. All these other teams are signing quarterbacks. It really is down to Denver and Houston right now. We all sort of forgot about the Tony Romo situation because of the NCAA tournament. Steve, in Canada, sports gambling is legal, although you have to do it with the government.
You got to play like three teams, right?
Yeah, in some places you can play two. Some places you can. Yeah.
You're getting closer.
Exactly. It's better than nothing.
You know, it is. I mean, I'm just, you know.
It's funny because people in Canada hate it. They're like, oh, the odds suck. I'd rather play online.
But at least you have it.
And then I was in a store in Montreal for the UFC across the street from the arena in Montreal. And, you know, it was all these dudes from, like, upstate New York and Plattsburgh and all these places coming up to see the fights. And I'm in a store. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. Like, they're like, you can bet UFC parlays in the store? This is unbelievable. Like, I wish we had this at home. And they couldn't believe it. They're like, you can bet on the NBA, like right here in your corner store. Like, they thought it was the greatest thing ever, right? So it's all perception. But they have this weird thing where they're almost like teasers. So you can bet a basketball game, whether it's going to be a tie or not. And a tie means within 5 points either way. And it pays pretty good odds, Steve. Like, I won a parlay last week, a three-teamer, three NCAA tournament games, all within 5 points. Doesn't matter who wins the game, as long as it's within 5 points. I did that on Sunday last week. I took a three-teamer, paid 16-1. Last night it hit as well, Steve. We're seeing all these 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5-point basketball games, which leads me to say, man, you know, hard not to take a look at Butler tonight, just the way the tournament's going.
Do they let you do that with NFL games?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but it's within 3 points with the NFL.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a six-point teaser
within
then.
Within three. Yeah.
Yeah, what's interesting about these NCAA tournament games, I actually was talking about this earlier today on my Nashville spot. They were asking me about power ratings, and I was explaining how, you know, it's really margin of victory with strength of schedule and how Gonzaga is tricky in that regard because they played such a weak schedule this year. They blew a lot of those teams out. But then I made the point that conference tournament games are always very close to the line because you have all those common opponents and you have a neutral court. Because, you know, home court gets tricky because some home courts are worth 2, some are worth 5. But, you know, in the postseason tournament, they're all on the same travel schedule. But what I also mentioned, though, is that it's amazing how these NCAA tournament games often land so close to the numbers because these are all non-conference teams. They have hardly any common opponents. And we talk about this every year, Gabe, how amazingly tight these lines are. So, yeah, that's a rare opportunity, actually, with a situation like that where you probably do have a slight edge this time of year because, you know, the 30-some games in, the odds are a lot sharper now than they were in November and December.
Oh, I'm just going to blindly play the lottery tonight, Steve. All four games, going to mix it up. Tie.
Yeah, we saw West Virginia land exactly on 3 last night.
Exactly. Michigan and Oregon won.
There you go. That was within a basket. Could have gone either way there at the end.
Yeah.
Where you got to be a little careful, I guess, is the steamroller games. And, of course, we had that with Kansas last night. North Carolina would be the one team that could maybe do that.
So are they the one? Exactly. They might be the one. Do they blow them out? So I find this game interesting. So Butler, North Carolina. North Carolina didn't look great against Arkansas, but that doesn't mean anything coming into tonight. This game's being played in Memphis, Tennessee. Butler cruised through the first two games. Heels got all they can handle from the Hogs. The Heels are 12-1 straight up in their last 13 Sweet 16 games. So they don't lose in this spot very often as far as losing outright. The ACC has knocked Butler out of the tournament 2 years in a row in 3 of the last 5. But I find this interesting, Steve, that the Butler Bulldogs are 9-1 against the spread their last 10 games against ACC teams.
And we always talk about how the committee, you know, I always say the committee does a better job than people realize the teams they put in and they leave out. The one team everyone complained about this year was Syracuse not getting in. Maybe, you know, maybe that was the committee's way of saying the ACC was a little overrated. Well, look what's happened so far. Duke gets bumped as a 2 seed. Louisville gets bumped as a 2 seed. Florida State gets bumped as a 3 seed. None of them make it past the first weekend. North Carolina is the only ACC team really remaining now. They're the preseason, the pre-tournament favorite. They were my pick to win it, and they're still the tournament favorite. But it starts to concern you a little bit that maybe the ACC was overrated this year. I think we could definitely make a case after what we've seen so far. Butler, you know, back in the day, the old Brad Stevens Butler teams that made back-to-back finals a few years back would have been a really bad matchup for Carolina because they played that slow-down half-court style. Butler's more of an offensive team now. Carolina likes to play up-tempo, so I think they'll get that style tonight. And they just have better athletes that can do it. So I think Carolina gets by here. But you do have to start wondering about the ACC. They have underperformed overall so far.
South Carolina and Baylor on the board tonight from Madison Square Garden. The Baylor Bears -3.5. Similar styles of basketball teams here, Steve.
Yeah, South Carolina, of course, is the team that bumped Duke last weekend, and they had the huge edge of playing basically a home game. It was in South Carolina. That definitely helped their cause.
You can thank the homophobes in North Carolina for that.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, I really thought South Carolina probably was a borderline tournament team, to be honest, and really fortunate to be a 7 seed.
Come on, Steve. They scored 65 points last week in the second half against Duke. They scored 53 points in the SEC tournament in the game against Alabama. Like, we talked about it last week. Marquette and South Carolina was like, oh, yeah, and these two. Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, play your game, and then you guys can get bounced in the next game. And here's South Carolina right now, and they're starting to believe – you know, yeah, Baylor's got Motley, but South Carolina's got Thornwell. We know that Frank Martin can coach. You know, I like the underdog in this game.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in Baylor. I thought Baylor was the weakest three seed of all the regions and wasn't even sure they'd make it this far. I thought New Mexico State was a live dog even in that game earlier, just because I'm not a believer in Baylor. They've had some real bad tournament appearances in recent years. So I don't think either one of these teams goes past this game, or doesn't go past this weekend, rather, whoever wins tonight. I do like the defensive dog angle with Martin in South Carolina. And Baylor's just been an underachiever in the years in the past. So it would not surprise me to see South Carolina continue on to Sunday. But I think their journey ends at that point.
Well, they would play the winner of Florida and Wisconsin. One thing that's interesting, and I got this from Mark Lawrence and his database. Last four teams to eliminate Duke in the tournament lost the next game, Steve.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting angle.
A little bit of a letdown. And yeah, this is the letdown letdowns. They called that win by the Gamecocks the biggest basketball win in program history. It was in the state. You know the buzz in the state all week. These kids are being told how great they are. They just beat Duke. You know, but I don't see playing on a Friday night in New York City at Madison Square Garden in the Sweet 16 as any way of being a letdown. But the last four teams to beat Duke lost the next game.
Yeah, and look, you know, I think the two Cinderella teams coming in this week were Xavier and South Carolina. It's hard to call either one of them a Cinderella. Xavier won outright last night. I was really surprised by that. I liked Arizona. I think it was a bit of a fluke. At one point in the second half, Xavier was 40%. 4-for-10 from three-point range. Arizona was 4-for-21. And Arizona actually took an 8-point lead a little bit after that with about 4 minutes to go. And then just Miller. I mean, Shami, you got to definitely make a case. He screwed up the offense there against that zone. They were manhandling him with their big men, and they just couldn't do anything. So, you know, I don't read too much into Xavier's win. Historically, these teams usually come a little flat here in the round of 16. Michigan had all that emotion, as you know, Gabe, from the Big Ten from last week. Now, they didn't come flat. They could have easily won last night against Oregon, but they still fell short. And you do have to wonder if that happens to South Carolina tonight.
All right, here's the glamour game tonight. Kentucky and UCLA from Memphis. Of course, Calipari used to coach the Memphis Tigers. He's not very popular in Memphis. This is as big as it gets, man. You got 19 combined championships between the two of them. We talked about the star power of the players all week long. Three guys going to be taken in the top six or seven of the upcoming NBA draft in Ball, Fox, and Monk. This is amazing. Kentucky, and this is sort of like they've quietly done this. Kentucky haven't lost a basketball game since Saturday, February the 4th. And I remember that game because I was on Florida. It was a Saturday night. It was in Gainesville. They haven't lost since February the freaking 4th. They've won 13 games in a row. You got a double revenge spot for the Kentucky Wildcats here. You know, the Kentucky are favored by one, but UCLA did beat them earlier in the year, and they beat them last year. Maybe they have their number. I imagine the fans that aren't Kentucky fans and aren't UCLA fans, any locals are going to be in there. They're going to be pulling for UCLA because they hate Calipari. And then you got a really high total here. This game's as tough as it gets.
Yeah, Kentucky opened as a slight favorite. They're about a 1.5-point dog now, actually. UCLA actually the slight favorite. This is the only total game. We talked about all those overs last week. You know, we said how both the first two rounds, the over hit pretty good. The odds makers bumped them up a bit, and they still kept going over. Seven of the eight games yesterday and today, the total has gone higher from the opener. The only game in which the over-under has dropped is this game, and that's because it opened 169.5. It's down to like 167.
It's a lot of points.
You know, so, you know, the public loves the over, but they get a little gun-shy at this price range. So this is the only game in which the totals actually dropped.
It's not going to be a 97-92 game like earlier this year.
Right, and both those games, by the way, the last 2 years, you mentioned UCLA winning. As you know, both those games were on December 3rd, and Kentucky, the youngest team in the country every year now,
good point,
is a completely different team in March than they are in early December.
They've held eight of their last nine opponents to 70 points or less.
Well, that's why I think the winning streak you mentioned is important, because it's really like these guys are sophomores now, and they were freshmen when they played earlier this year.
It's a good point. So what do you think about the total? It's hard to take the under, even though it's so high.
Well, both teams, UCLA has to play fast. So, I mean, I think if you like UCLA minus 1.5, you definitely lean over, because they're going to want to get that style. I think Kentucky is more able to win either way. We saw that last weekend against Wichita State. I actually had one over last week, and that was that game. Almost every game goes over, and the one I have, of course, doesn't, which Wichita State, Kentucky. So we saw that the Wildcats can play, you know, a slowdown defensive style if needed. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to take UCLA out of their preferred game. So I think you can make a case that the under in Kentucky is somewhat correlated more so in, you know, UCLA to the over.
All right, Wisconsin and Florida. This is a tough one. And this is an Outback Bowl, Steve. You know, the Wisconsin Badgers versus the Florida Gators. Welcome to the Outback Bowl.
11 a.m. on a New Year's Day.
Big Ten versus SEC. It really does feel like an Outback Bowl. And South Carolina, Baylor, another football matchup. So we got Big Ten versus SEC here. Badgers knocked off Va Tech and then Villanova. And the Gators beat ETSU in Virginia. Virginia were putrid. But, you know, they only scored 39 points. People are pretty high on the Gators. I thought it was a good matchup for the Gators because they're a defensive team that people were like, you know, these guys can be national championship contenders, but they go through scoring spurts. But they're still better offensively than Virginia are, and they showed that. Now you get Wisconsin. Wisconsin's better than Virginia, too. And, you know, Wisconsin's got guys that can hit the three. They can score. They've got tournament experience. They've got guys that have been in the Final Four before still on this team. And there, you know, was two, but I see it was one, actually. This number's changing, too. I like the Badgers in this game.
Yeah, I think the public's on Wisconsin here. This line had gone higher earlier in the week from minus one. Florida was as high as minus two. Now they're back down to minus one as of, you know, Friday afternoon. So it looks like the public is coming in on the Wisconsin here, and it's understandable why. I mean, Wisconsin, their pedigree is strong. They're in the national finals a couple years ago. They just knocked off the defending national champs in Villanova. And this is a Wisconsin team that's dangerous against anybody. I do think the fact that Florida just played Virginia last weekend is an advantage for the Gators because it's a similar matchup. Wisconsin's somewhat of a slowdown half-court team, much more efficient on offense. So what kills Virginia is their offense this year, just a really inefficient offense that just couldn't score at times. And that's why that game became a runaway last week for Florida. But keep in mind, like you said, the last team to beat Kentucky, and that was by over 20 points, was this Gator squad. Florida is capable of winning the whole thing. I think the winner of this game makes the Final Four and beats either Baylor or South Carolina. And it was a benefit for Florida for Wisconsin to knock off Villanova. Now they just have to get by Wisconsin, whereas tough road for Wisconsin, beat Villanova and then beat Florida in the very next game.
All right, Steve, so before we get you out of here, let's talk some NASCAR. It's the fifth race of the season, Auto Club 400 from Fontana. We've had four different winners so far this year. Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., and then Ryan Newman shocks the NASCAR world last week with an 80-1. Big payday for backers of Ryan Newman. I was reading VegasInsider.com over at the Westgate. They had $45 in action on Newman. Even in Vegas, he figured, someone must have put $200 on it. No. Even Vegas. They said they had three different people bet a combined $45.
Yeah, I liked him on the fantasy roster when he had to pick six guys, actually, but that was because he was like in the 7,000 range. He hasn't won in several years, and he would not have won this race for two things. First of all, pit strategy. If anybody didn't see the finish, he was running seventh and stayed on the track. Everybody else ahead of him pitted, got new tires. Kyle Larson had fresh tires, went from fourth to second in about half a lap, and then made a mistake, got caught down low, got in some traffic. Otherwise, he would have passed Newman, and Kyle Larson would have won this race. It's important to know Kyle Larson is now the points leader despite not winning this year. He's finished second, I believe, three times already this season, including last week. Chase Elliott, once again, very strong. And now we're at another intermediate speedway. So the same guys that did well in Vegas at Atlanta should do well again this week. By the way, Phoenix last week, Kevin Harvick not nearly as strong as he's been. Keep in mind they switched over to Ford this year. So you got to wonder, maybe we need to see something from Harvick here before we just automatically put him on the roster each week.
I haven't bet on Harvick in a while, actually. There's never any value, and he doesn't win enough anymore. Johnson's the favorite here, home track, six-time winner, has run great here. He won here last year, actually. Six-time winner, 13 top fives. Jimmy's in play at plus 600. But my guy, you know it, Steve, Kyle Larson, as you mentioned, leading points getter. I'm taking him every week. And, you know, the California and the Michigan tracks, they're the sister tracks, right? But it's strange. Like, there's not the same the same guys don't always win, basically. But with that being stated, Larson won at Michigan. The guy's basically second every week. He's been second three times this year. He's in the mix. We're not getting 12-1 anymore with him, but he's at 9-1. I'll be pulling the trigger with him. And I know your boy, Chase Elliott, he's at 10-1. He's getting closer to his first win. Top five finishes at Vegas and Atlanta, as you mentioned. Keselowski's always in the freaking mix. He's plus 800. Looking at a fantasy pick, and maybe, you know, I don't know if it's with Newman winning last week, but we know Casey Kane. He's not going to win, but he could be a good fantasy play, man. He's got 10 top fives here and four top fives, and he's won here before, actually.
Yeah, and Newman's actually been good on several of these tracks this year as far as practice speeds, like top 10 fastest. So he could be worth a look again from a fantasy perspective. He won't win this week. That was a bit of a fluke, but he was in the running. I mean, when you have a 40-50-1 shot, that's all you need if they're in the running at the end there like that. But what Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott were not good at in the last couple of years was consistency. They'd have a chance to win, and then they finish in the 30s. We're not seeing that anymore. You know, Kyle Larson almost could win every race this year. Same with Chase Elliott. He probably had the best card. Atlanta came up short. So both these guys are guys you can use with confidence now in both fantasy and to straight up win, and they're going to get multiple wins this season.
Yeah, you know what? They've passed Dylan. Remember, you know, everyone was high on Dylan last year, you know, as the future. But yeah, Larson's in a freaking zone right now. We'll see if Logano steps up and in soon too. But I don't like the odds; a little bit too low. But he's a great.
Well, Kyle Busch, Logano. What worried me last week was once again if one of them takes the other one out.
Yeah.
And Logano actually dominated that race last week, so he probably is worth a look this week.
Yeah, I know he's right there, and you know he's bound to win sooner rather than later. All right, Steve. We encourage people to check out Steve over at Covers Experts. He's got thoughts on the NCAA games and write-ups, and find him over at prosportsinfo.com. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. We'll take a quick break. The raging redhead Cam Stewart joins us next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We're not singing any songs. We're not in a good mood.
No, not in the mood today. It's sports rage personified. I'm pissed, Morenci. I'm taking a page out of your book. Hey, I'm going to go to the Cam here. Hey, golf tournament. So let's see this.
Hey, golf tournament.
We have this match play, pods. So Jason Day, he backs out of the tournament. Great, he plays. So the matches he doesn't play. You don't get your money back. There's no void bet. You don't get 66% of it back. These are matches he don't play. He doesn't play, and other guys automatically go through. Then Gary Woodland, like some kind of idiot, you know, I'm not really feeling it this week. You withdraw. So what do? You screw Rory McIlroy. So now imaginary matches are not being played. People who won their first match get the automatic win. It's screwing up everything, Morenci. They're not refunding bets. This is a joke. This is an absolute joke. You should be ashamed of yourself, whoever puts this stuff together. Yeah, finish the tournament. At least be trying. He knows he's probably going to lose, but he's out there battling.
No, this is
it's fraudulent.
It's extremely
actually.
Frustrating, actually, because I bet on Rory, and I see I've been graded as a loser.
Yeah,
here,
but he didn't lose.
Fair.
He didn't play his match.
But how come they don't have it? And I'm not even blaming the books for this, because it is what it is. It's a cold world. But I'm blaming the organizers of the tournament and thinking about a format that it's not fair if one guy withdraws that the other guys in his group get screwed.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Like, they should have it. Okay, all right, he's out, so you got to play here. Yeah. You got to do this.
They should have tiebreakers.
Yes.
Like they're having right now. As we're talking right now, we have four tiebreakers going on. But, Morenci, some good news. We have a piece of John Rahm. He's 3-0. Camera 2, Drew, I got to give him a lot of credit. Not a lot of people like Phil this weekend. He's 3-0. Big Pooch is 2, moving on. Soren Cheltson.
Camera 2, Drew. Huh?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. He's a winner. Drew's I know we bust him on this show, but honestly, he's doing good.
I got
quite
some
well.
Live scores here. Casey up 4 up through 14.
Mm-hmm. Speed up.
1 up through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Peters. I'm on Peters.
I'm on Peters, too.
He's 1 up on Bubba right now.
Very
through
important.
11.
Yep.
Oh, he needs that.
Hey, camera 2, can you give us one? Just one. That's like, yeah.
Fisher and Furyk.
Anyway, Gabe, but there's a big playoffs going on right now, too. Three-man plus. And that's another thing with this format. It's stupid. So you have pods. Three guys finish at 2-1, so we have Hatton, Howell, and Cabrera Bale playing each other. Great. And then we have Lee Westwood, Pat Perez, and Leishman playing each other. So we're having three-man playoffs, and we're not even out of the first round yet. Good work, guys.
I was kidding.
They got to change this, the format. We got to figure it out. Make it more like March Madness. Screw the pods and go head-to-head brackets.
Where's Kisner? The fact I don't see him leads me to believe he's not doing well.
I don't want to tell you. Yeah, it's a real problem. He actually tied in his match right now, but it doesn't matter. I'm smoked. I need miracles now. We need miracles. But anyway, John Rahm, go deep. Dirk McGirt's doing pretty good. I got him at 300-1, but he's not going to win.
All right, Cam. So,
just the facts, Brent.
You're a little fired up today about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm actually.
No, it's a screw job. No, like I said, the Jason Day stuff, too. And it's hard to criticize a guy who goes to be with his mother who has cancer.
Exactly.
And I know, trust me, I've been through this. I go through this. I understand.
Yep.
But it's like, listen, I did a bunch of shows, and we all know my mother had cancer yep. surgery.
Yep.
I didn't stop midway through the show.
No, you didn't.
Right? Like, I started the show. And I, not to sound like a jerk here, but I'm going to sound like a jerk. I'm going to say, I wonder if he would have left if he was up by a couple of holes. He wasn't playing well, so suddenly I got to go be with my mother.
It's
well, if you were up, you know, would you have left? I don't know.
Well, we don't know.
And I'm done with Day. Because between the freaking vertigo, and like, once again, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but between your vertigo... You know, your mother and, you know, oh, my arm, my elbow. I don't, he never feels well.
You're right. Ear infection, illness. I don't know what's going on anymore. All I know
it's
is.
It's like betting on Milhouse. You know what I mean?
Honestly.
The Simpsons. Oh, I got a nosebleed. Really, Milhouse?
Yeah, well, I know what? I wish I had Milhouse right now instead of some of the guys I have. Milhouse and who's the other? Who's the nerd kid?
Milhouse.
No, the other guy, the real one, Martin Prince. Martin Prince and Milhouse. That's my parlay right now. What else you want to talk about,
I'm telling
Fred?
You right now, I'm no golf expert, yep. but Dustin Johnson's winning this thing.
I would say Dustin Johnson looks very good, but don't sleep on John Rahm.
All right, I'll give you the updated odds. Okay. Right? We're live. So it's one of the benefits of being live right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have live golf or live odds. Dustin Johnson, plus 300 to win it all.
Not enough. There's still too many rounds.
I don't know. Once he wins, it'll be pretty good.
You're right, Gabe. Correct. Next. Give me another guy. Give me what Rahm.
John Rahm, 7-1.
That's right in my
plus
wheelhouse.
Plus 700.
I'd rather have Rahm at 7.
See, Cam would rather lose a heartbreaker at plus 700 than win at plus 300.
You've known me for a long time. It's amazing.
You discount it now.
It's amazing.
No, give me the odds.
It's
not
amazing.
The winner.
Cameron 2 drew. I go 3-1 in basketball and lose money last night because me and Gabe were going, you know what? We're friends. Yeah, let's go on Michigan together. Yeah, that was a good decision. That was a heartbreaker.
That sucked.
And it's been a rough week.
Paul Casey, 9-1?
Pulp Casey's actually in really good form right now, but he's an easier bracket, I would say. Be careful with this guy.
Phil's 9-1.
Oh, Phil could have got him at 50 or something at the start of the tournament, like Cameron 2 drew, and have smart money.
Brooks Koepka, 14. Brooks. Alex Noren, 16.
Yeah, no interest. Brooks Koepka's actually playing well. The guy couldn't hit a fairway, and all of a sudden he's got his game back together. Like Bubba Watson, another guy that's really turned it around this week.
All right. I brought this up yesterday. It was National Puppy Day yesterday.
Rough.
Although every day is National Something Day.
I wish it was National Give Ginger Some Money Day. That would be amazing. Instead of Kick a Ginger Day, how about you give me an envelope day?
But somebody asked me.
Preferably with holograms.
Somebody asked me about Xavier and Arizona last
game.
Night, right before tip-off.
Tough game.
And I said, how do you not take Xavier? It's National Puppy Day. The underdog.
Yeah,
they went outright.
Yep, they did.
They went outright, which leads us into tonight. So the one blowout last night.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas. They blew out Purdue. The game was close for a
Kansas
while.
Kansas is scary.
Dude, Kansas
is going to win.
They're the best team in
the
tournament.
They're going to win.
I picked them before the tournament started, plus 800. So it was a blow last night. I just had Merrill on, and Merrill brought up, if there's one game it's a blowout tonight, is it North Carolina and Butler, or does Butler hang around? Why not? I think they can hang around.
I think Butler can hang around in this game. I don't really have faith in North Carolina. I don't like the way the ACC's played in the tournament. We've seen that. There's a lot of weakness there. As for Butler, they're grinders. 7 points. People think, North Carolina with the skill. They don't pull away from anybody in this tournament. That is a big, big problem right now, Morenci. I'm not sure if we're going to be on the same teams. I think we were going to disagree on one. But right now, you're going to give me the 7. I'm going to take the Butler Bulldogs.
I'm taking the 7.5 with the Butler Bulldogs as well. South Carolina and Baylor. Who you got?
Cox versus Bears. You'd usually think the Bears would win that matchup, but nope, we're going with the Gamecocks. I like South Carolina. What about our boy, Sindarius, man? He's doing some really good things.
Sindarius Thornwell.
Sindarius Thornwell, our old buddy from DraftKings, is a good friend of me and Gabe's. He's done great things for the Gamecocks team. They play a suffocating defense. They can beat you, and when they're hitting their shots, oh boy. I'll tell you, the Baylor Bears, they're good, but I'm not that impressed. I think I'm going to take the 3.5 points with South Carolina. Come on, Gamecocks!
And when we say, when Cam says that Sindarius Thornwell is a good friend of ours. We've never actually met him.
No, we've never met him. No, he used to be a good friend of ours when he gave us fantasy points.
Yeah, yeah. When college basketball was on DraftKings, he was a very good friend.
When you're winning us money, you're our friend.
I like how casually Cam just dropped it. And our good friend, Sindarius Thornwell, people are going to think, oh, you guys know Sindarius?
I've never met him.
You know what, though? There is a guy on South Carolina from Woodbridge.
Really?
He's got to be the only black guy from Woodbridge. There's one black guy from Woodbridge, and he plays on a South Carolina Gamecocks.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Dwayne Notice.
Yes,
yeah,
so actually, Notice is good. Yeah, he's Notice. Real good. I know. Yeah. I like Dwayne Notice.
Yeah, Woodbridge, actually. Woodbridge, did you know this? Woodbridge plays more pro line tickets, which is strange because they have the highest quota of bookies per square foot in the country.
Trust me, yes.
But they play the most pro line tickets in the province, but in the country, it's the biggest gambling hub in Canada. Like, I was talking to Fife about it, actually. Mm-hmm. We knew a guy that used to work at the lottery.
Ran into him the other day.
And he was talking about Woodbridge, and he goes, yeah, yeah, like, 23% of all ProLine tickets are from Woodbridge.
I don't need rocket science to figure this one out on the camera, on the cam. Think about this, Gabe. You have the highest percentage of bookies. What are you going to do? So you have an account. Oh, no, I tapped it out. What am I going to do? You hit the old convenience store in desperation. Got to play the ProLine. You know that's the way it is, right? You got it. Because you need that money up front. I can't be waiting a week or two. Just the facts. That's what we do on the show.
I'll
just the facts.
I'll go with the Gamecocks tonight, too.
Yes, let's roll. Roll with the Gamecocks.
All right, this is the toughest game on the board, although, you know what? I do have a play on this.
Tell me you're on UCLA.
I'm on Kentucky.
Really?
Kentucky.
I like UCLA in this game, but you know what? This one, you said it, Gabe. I look at your note here. It's a great one. Somebody not going home, not happy after game. That's a great note.
No, but because, I say this because it seems like an obvious
programs.
Statement, but...
Yeah.
No. The UCLA fans and the Kentucky fans, we're talking about the two winningest programs in basketball.
They don't like each other.
UCLA
either.
Have won 11 times. Kentucky have won 8 times, all right? It's the Blue Bloods and the Blue Bloods playing against each other. It's still the Sweet 16. Like, either fan base, they're not down. They're not going to want to hear, yeah, but we played Kentucky.
Final four or bust.
They're not going to care. They're going to go, well, you know what, Alford? We're tired of your crap. You know, you always all this hype, and you never win. You never get to the Final Four. And in Kentucky, you know, they're impatient with Calipari. He's
they
only
are.
Won once there.
Yep.
You know, they want more. So as I stated, yes, somebody's going to be pissed tonight between the fan bases. I think it's an advantage to Kentucky that the fact that the game is in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a little bit closer. Yeah, it's closer, yep. But I'll tell you this, Gabe. You talk about the blue chippers, too. We got players from Kentucky going to the NBA. Players from UCLA going to the NBA. You're right. These fan bases are not happy. Ooh, we made it to the Elite Eight or whatever. It's Final Four or nothing, preferably winning.
But you know what,
Once
Ken?
Again, I like UCLA on the money line in a game which is a pro-line tie, probably, decided within five.
But I'll tell you what, Cam. UCLA beat them earlier this year, 97-92. Mm-hmm. They beat them. And you know what? Kentucky were 11-point favorites earlier this year. Think about it. They're 11-point favorites in that game. And now they're 1.5-point underdogs as we speak right now. Huge swing. And UCLA beat them last year as well. I'm just saying. It's not easy to beat Kentucky three times in a row.
No, and that's the old adage in the NFL.
And you want another one? You're not going to like this number, Kim.
Okay.
You know, you're not going to like this.
You're not going to like my last pick, too, because we're opposite sides.
Coach Calipari, 10-2 straight up. And against the spread, last 12.
Couldn't care less.
Sweet 16 games. He doesn't lose in the Sweet 16.
I don't care. I like UCLA. I think they're going to get it done.
All right, so you like the Florida Gators? Chomp, chomp.
Chomp, 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 chomp. I usually go with the Badger, I'll tell you. But I got something weird to say about these Gators, Gabe. All of a sudden, they are playing great basketball. They're hitting outside shots. They're doing it inside. I'll tell you, Wisconsin, we can get those main guys in foul trouble, and the Badgers. I think they beat Villanova. I think that was their, hey, let's party. They're done now. I like Florida. I'm telling you, I feel really good about this game. I think I was
good
thinking
game.
About it. I think Florida is actually my favorite play on the night.
All right.
Chomp, chomp.
Cam's not going anywhere. We'll come back.
Oh,
and,
nice.
What are we talking, some hot roster?
Yeah, usually they give me the hook.
Get some hockey. Yeah, some hot roster hockey picks. All right, coming up next. All All right, let's talk some hot roster hockey. Let's get down to business here, Cam. We've got Antti Niemi versus Michael Hutchinson.
Wow, where'd they go to for this matchup? Keep digging. I love hot roster, but we got some bad
Start off with some goalies.
Yeah,
here.
We love bad tenders.
First off, you know what? I actually like the Sharks tonight.
Oh, God. Keep on going.
The Sharks, what? You like the Dallas Stars tonight?
It's going to be my dirty pooch of the night, but continue.
I was going to say, you know, listen, the Sharks can't lose every night, right?
The Stars can lose a lot, too. Yeah.
The Dallas Stars can't score.
They're at home tonight, and who do you like more? Okay, here's the situation on the roster. We have Antti Niemi, who's a bad goaltender against San Jose, but he's at home. Or if Michael Hutchinson of the Jets at Anaheim to play the Ducks.
I don't like either choice.
That's kind of my point. So I'm going with Antti Niemi. Basically, this one's a pick'em. They both average 2.66 hot roster points. I'm looking for any angle. I know the Jets are a better team. They probably score more. But I think Dallas has a better chance to win. Give me Niemi. But I don't really love it. But I do have thoughts on some other matchups.
Blake Wheeler, also versus the Ducks. Winnipeg Jets at the Ducks.
Yeah.
Jamie Benn versus the Sharks. So Ben's like one of the few stars who've been playing well, right?
I got to hand it to, I'll go to camera three there. Hannah from Winnipeg, your boy Wheeler's on fire too. I got the jersey, 13 points in 10 games, and Marsh 7 points in his last 9. I do not like the situation for my boy Wheels tonight though. I do like Ben, 2 points versus the Blackhawks in his last game. He's starting to shoot the puck a little bit more. I told you, Dallas is my dirty pooch. I actually think they play San Jose tough. Give me Ben over Wheeler. That's a tough one though.
All right, Andrew Ladd.
Yep.
Andrew Ladd in Pittsburgh. Brock Nelson.
These guys at Hot Roster aren't screwing around, I can tell you
no,
that.
They're
getting player versus player matchups and two Islanders. So the good news is, though, the thing I like about Ladd is he's always that guy. He was great in Chicago, playoff ready, 5 points in his last 8. He's getting more shots. Nelson's struggling a little bit for the Islanders, no points in his last 5, and he only has 6 shots in his last 5 games. That's not going to get it done on Hot Roster. The sneaky categories are penalty minutes and shots. So when you have guys who don't get points or they're tied at the end of the night, usually shots or penalty minutes are the decider, so I got to go with Andrew Ladd in that matchup. I actually like that matchup.
Are you tempted by the New York Islanders this evening in Pittsburgh?
Actually, interesting news on this game, Gabe. I'm hearing we have a Euro Halak sighting. I know Thomas Greiss has been the goalie for the New York Islanders for a while, and then they had to put in that kid Berube, who absolutely blows, but Halak is starting for New York tonight. I think we're getting confirmations on this one. This is an interesting situation. Do you really want to come back against the Pittsburgh Penguins? Yikes. This could be an absolute train wreck for the Islanders.
So Sidney Crosby over under 5 hot roster points. You almost just want to blindly say yes.
I do.
Over. He's averaging 5.24 points on the hot roster. Hot roster points. 7 goals, 7 assists in 12 games this month.
I'll tell you something, Gabe. Usually when you have these big numbers, and we've been on hot roster going under, like guys like Alex Ovechkin, they're not hitting this. But Sidney Crosby on fire against the Islanders. He always plays well. Tons of multi-point games. And a thing I like about him, 7 points in his last 3 and 16 shots in the last 4, averaging 4 shots a game. I think he can get there. Basically, with the shots, if he gets 1 point tonight, I think we can get over that total, especially if it's a goal. Sign me up with Sid the Kid. I could see a crazy game. Don't you see like a 5-4 type of game, Pens and Islanders tonight?
You know what? I think the Islanders actually beat him. What was it? Yeah, they beat him 5-3.
Yeah. They always play high score.
Beat them 5-3
every
last
time.
So I was going to say there should be some goals in this game.
Every time Pittsburgh and the Islanders get together.
I can see Pittsburgh winning 5-4.
I can see him 6-4, 5-4. Yeah, I'm reading your mail, buddy. I see the over in that game.
But every time I say there's going to be goals in an NHL game, there never is.
Final score, Pittsburgh 1, Islanders nothing.
There never is.
Hey, what are you gonna do, Gabe? What are you gonna do? Yeah, actually, I like Crosby.
Halak
over the
called
number.
From Bridgeport. I'll tell you what, man. Halak is usually good this time of the year, though.
He hasn't played in a
long
time.
No, I'm not saying he's gonna be good tonight, but Halak if they get in somehow.
I like the Lightning over the Wings tonight. What do you think about that? Pick-up?
Yeah, I like.
That's the game. That's my Dallas is gonna be my dirty pooch, and I'm gonna ride the Lightning Metallica style in the Motor City.
All right, Cam. Quick golf check on the way out here. Your boy Bill Haas.
He won.
He's minus 125 in game right now, which leads us to believe he's right there.
What it means is he's probably got a 10 foot putt and the other guy's got a 12 foot putt. Why are you shaking your head, camera two? It's over?
He pulled out for par from 90 feet away to make Kim hits a birdie putt and wins the whole
fifth win. Kim hits a birdie.
Oh, okay, thanks. There we go. Okay. Good. Thanks for the update, Drew. Appreciate it. Tell your girlfriend thanks for the sandwich, too. The turkey was really, and the cheese was nice today. Very fresh.
I played 11 matchups, yes. Right?
And you're going to win two of them?
No, I've won one so far.
But they're
like,
not
I'm
yet.
Less right than a broken clock is once a day. A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
Like, I am stupider and more useless than a broken freaking clock. Twix!
Annoying.
All right, we're going to come back with our DFS lineup.
Yeah. Keep the party rolling.
All right, we got a full slate of NBA basketball on the board this evening. Let's get to our DraftKings lineup for tonight. And I got to tell you guys, I really, really, really like this lineup. Like, I really do. It wasn't forced. It came together nice and easy. It was nice and easy. And each player, and I'll tell you why, each player has something to bring to the table here this evening. Let's start off with Jrue Holiday. Put up 40 DK points last week versus the Houston Rockets. This game's going to be a track meet, all right? It's the highest total on the board by far. He's inconsistent, but there's a ton of upside here. At worst, he's going to give us 25, 30 DK points. At best, he gives us 40, 45, and maybe a miracle 50 this evening, but there's going to be a ton of points. They put up like 240 points last time these two teams played against each other. Bradley Beal. I like picking on teams that played last night, and the Nets played last night. They're going to be a little bit worn out this evening as the game goes on. The Washington Wizards are in a must-win situation. They're jockeying for playoff position. Beal has averaged 40 DK points per game this year versus the Brooklyn Nets. And I like Beal here. It's a good price. $7,800. No reason he doesn't produce and give us, you know, 40, 45 here tonight as well. All right, Paul George, man. Paul George, one of the hottest players in the National Basketball Association right now. Put up 54 DK points versus the Celtics in his last game. He's averaging 26.7 points per game in the month of March. He only averaged 18 points a game in February. He's really elevated his play. He's trying to carry the Pacers into the postseason. And oh yeah, the Denver Nuggets aren't exactly known for playing a great defense. Great to have you back, Frank. Frank the Tank. You know, there's no coincidence here that suddenly Kaminsky's back in the lineup and suddenly the Hornets don't suck his heart as much anymore. Kaminsky, great play. $5,700. Dude is money. 28 DK points or more in three of the last four games. He's only played four games since his return. He's averaging 16.7 points per game. They're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. And oh yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers also not known for their ferocious defense. No reason that Kaminsky doesn't score 16 points and give us 25, 30 DK points. All right, you want to talk about hot players? I'm telling you guys, each player I'm bringing you to the table tonight is solid, has something going for them. Al Horford, one of the hottest players in the NBA right now, man. He's gone over five times his salary in five straight basketball games. And I'm talking about picking on teams that are tired. The Phoenix Suns are dead tired. You got a bunch of kids. They're not used to playing this much. They're all rookies. They're worn out. They played last night. They've been on the road seemingly for a long time right now. They're going back to back. Phoenix are in a tough spot here this evening. I like Al Horford to go off this evening. He's going to give us 40 plus. My boy Nick Stauskas from Michigan. Great run by the Michigan Wolverines. Fell short, but no reason to hang your head, guys. Stauskas. You know what? First time in his career, he's put up 20 points on back to back occasions. $4,200. Got to like him. Jay Crowder, he's been lighting it up as well. And Solomon Hills, our gamble of the night. He put up 52 DK points versus the Rockets last week. He followed that up with 33 versus the T-Wolves. Yeah, he didn't play good against the Grizzlies, but nobody does. All right, let's get to our plays today. We got to be fast. Give me the Butler Bulldogs plus 7.5. Let's go over 153. South Carolina and Baylor sounds like a football game. You know what? Give me the 3.5. I'll take the field goal and a plus here with the Gamecocks. Wisconsin and Florida sounds like an Outback Bowl. Give me the Wisconsin Badgers plus a point. I like the Kentucky Wildcats. UCLA have already beaten them two times. Last two times they played each other. Give me Kentucky. Give me the over. NBA, give me the Pelicans plus 8.5. Give me the over 231 in that game. All the Philadelphia 76ers do is cover point spreads. Give me the Sixers plus the 7.5. NHL Hockey Sharks. Dun, 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 dun. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.